at the risk of stopping some very good conversations out there, it'd be a good idea to get started. My name is Rick Hall. I live in Tallahassee, Florida, and I do transportation work for Walkable Community Design. And it's my great pleasure to introduce these two speakers today. I'll start with Alan Jacobs. We're passing around a few little flyers, and some of you can get those at the take-home reading study on Alan, so I don't run as long an introduction as we may have seen in some other... No, I won't say that. Alan is one of the icons of early research in understanding how streets function within cities. A quote from Robert Campbell in the Boston Globe: Jacobs rightly believes that good cities are made of good streets and that we're rapidly losing our talent for creating them. CNU's main function is to counter that statement, is to change and reverse that statement. I was director of city planning for director of the City Planning Commission for San Francisco, and he integrated urban design into the local governmental planning and produced a plan that has given San Francisco some of the best places, and two decades later still is a model of its kind. A couple of quotes from Alan. Streets are places of social and commercial encounter and exchange. They are where you meet people, which is the basic reason to have cities. There's no big mystery. The best streets are comfortable to walk along with leisure and safety. They are streets for both pedestrians and drivers. That counters the separation, the separate but equal, if you will, theory of the 60s and 70s, where we get the pedestrians over there and the drivers over there, and you'll have a safe place. Not the case. This is one of my favorites. Great streets have 9 to 10 foot lanes and 7 to 8 foot parking maximum. I was in a previous conference with Alan, and he said among his other techniques for studying streets and investigating this, he takes a notebook along with him and writes all the dimensions of the place that he's studying in detail, and then starts to make statements about it. Until he studied the place, he doesn't make a comment about it. But he was saying in this one conference, never design an urban street based on traffic projections. Completely counter to the conventional wisdom on street design, urban or rural. So without further ado, I give you Alan Jacobs.
Problems in a physical environment. And the other, many of the other professional organizations, that, you know, when they took away the word city, now it's just called planning. So they can plan anything and try to, and nothing. And it's just wonderful to come to CNU meetings because there are people here passionately concerned and doing research and working to make cities better as physical places to meet the needs and aspirations of people today and tomorrow. And that's what I enjoy most in coming to the CNU meeting. I suspect that by now, and I'm often wrong, that everyone knows what the Multiway Boulevard is, but just so that everyone knows again, what Elizabeth and I will be talking about, let's just be clear about what a Multiway Boulevard is. There are those, there's a through-going central realm that can be more often two lanes in each direction, sometimes three lanes in each direction. And then having said that, I found a wonderful small boulevard, multi-way boulevard in Sacramento, where in the center there is one lane in each direction. Then there is a pedestrian realm, where the pedestrian is queen or king, and what that means is that their pace and their comfort is the most important thing. And within that, there are two side access ways. But those are within the pedestrian realm. Those access ways and lanes. Side access way on the Esplanade, and I always called it the Esplanade until 2 weeks ago when we were there. It's always, after all these years, it's Esplanade, please. Okay, it's Esplanade. Side access ways, as we see there. And the central realm for faster moving traffic, not speedy, but faster moving traffic that's usually going through the area. These days, even classic ones, such a street, the Paseo de Gracia in Barcelona, one of the great streets of the world, enters into why we did research on boulevards that I'll get to. These days, Elizabeth and I get lots and lots of calls from cities or from citizen groups regarding multi-way boulevards. When the call comes from a city official, elected or otherwise, often otherwise, it's often because the city is doing a study of a transportation corridor and the people want to know if a multi-way boulevard would be appropriate or would fit. Calls from citizen groups are usually about advocacy. The group thinks such a road would be appropriate, would solve a problem, or more than one problem, and they want our advice. Often they tell us that there is strong resistance from local officials, traffic engineers, most of the time. And they want to know cities. Third group often calls is fellow professionals. They too wonder about the appropriateness of a multi-way boulevard for the project or plan they are designing. And they too might want help with convincing local officials. In the not too distant past, nothing might have come of the inquiries or the hopes. I think that's slowly changing. It's fascinating when we are here in this room now. Sometimes the urban context is just not appropriate for such a street. More often, official resistance is great, and city planning, urban design consultants are understandably not willing to fight very, very hard or long for a street solution they think might be correct. If the fight, doing that fight, will alienate a client, so, how far can we go? Or raise the fear and possibility that they will never again be hired as consultants in the city in question. And that's very understandable. Perhaps based in a university and being somewhat senior, that's never been a huge concern of mine. Those will not be concerned. Besides which, I take my lessons and one lesson from a wonderful lady no longer with us, Dorothy Erskine, in the Bay Area, who fought so hard for saving the Bay, for saving the vineyards in Sonoma and Napa, which we owe to great people like Dorothy. And we were at her place up in Napa. We were in a swimming pool, I remember, and Dorothy was no kid. And her eyes had been bad, and then they were getting better. And she said, "Alan, one of the few things that's good about getting older is that by the time you're older, you've had so much defeat in your life that the prospect doesn't scare you anymore." So you can say and do what's right. You try to do that. All of which is a far cry from all the negatives, a far cry from our first experience actually designing a multi-way boulevard, one that got designed and built very quickly, called CG Road in Ahmedabad, India. And I'm going to start with that. It is, I think, a happy-making success story and a good introduction to the presentation by Elizabeth and myself. Once I do this introduction, Elizabeth will get into the meat of the nature, history, and possible futures of this particular street type. If there's time at the end, one or both of us will talk about organizational and political professional process necessary to design and get multi-way boulevards built. And also the importance of looking at these streets holistically. Anyway, sometime back, I think in 1995, on most of our initial research doing drawings of Pine Boulevard, such as the Esplanade in Chico. The kind of work we were doing that ultimately produced the Boulevard book. It also includes some not so fine boulevards, such as Queens Boulevard in New York, and the Grand Concourse in the Bronx. During that time, when we were doing this final work on the initial studies, a former student, Bimal Patel, from India, stopped into my Berkeley office to finalize, put the final touches on his PhD dissertation. He saw on our drafting tables drawings of boulevards and he asked what they were. We explained, and the next day, Bimal told us that he was in the process of designing his first street as a commission there in his home city, Islamabad, a major project, and he feared he was screwing it up. Wouldn't he come to Islamabad and help him design CG Road? There was no compensation involved, but hey, it was a free trip to Islamabad. And Elizabeth had never been to India, so why not? CG Road is a major traffic carrier at the edge of Ahmedabad's old central city, one of only a few north major streets taking traffic in a north-south direction on the western edge of the city, side of the city. It is and was also a major business street along which, and just off of which, there were new upscale residential buildings and shopping and entertainment destinations. It was a typical disorganized hodgepodge of a street, common in India, that carried autos, trucks, cycle taxis, cyclists, human-drawn carts, motor scooters, camel-drawn carts, and many, many pedestrians that walked pretty much where they wanted. By the way, in India, the fashion and the ability, I guess, people park perpendicular to the street edge. They don't park parallel. This is a dusty place, and within 2 hours, every day that we got there, Elizabeth and I were sick. From the dust, it's not other things. A haphazard environment with a lot of confused movement. Any street design would have to keep all the traffic types in mind and accommodate as many as possible, but not at the expense of the commerce and shopping along it, and not at the expense of the people and activity along it. All of the movement and parking had to be handled within 100 feet. On 100 feet width. And we designed as narrow a multi-way boulevard as you are likely to see. The 3-foot median was there. That had already been done in the center. 20 feet for two lanes. 20.5 feet for the median and the side access lanes, 8 feet for the sidewalks. singular, not plural. And have a goal name. Doing this has taught me something. To stay away from minimum standards. Every time I adopt or come to a conclusion about a minimum standard, within the week I come across a situation that, maybe we can get it out of the way. So, I'm very cautious about that. That's the street that we designed. Keep in mind, by the way, that the traffic works, these are not backwards. The traffic is like English, they travel on the left side of the road. So there are very, very tight medians, two lanes in each direction in the center. And the pedestrian rail. As I said, the medians are exceedingly narrow, often no wider than a raised curb, with the triangular spaces in front of angled parking spaces used for the planting. By the way, since there were few trees on that street, but what there were some big old ones, we made sure that everyone was safe, worked around them. Access lanes are paved. Oh, this shows we did all kinds of testing to see if this design with very small tolerances would work, especially with fire engines. Could they cross the median? How much space did they really take? Could cars get around them? We had, it wasn't working in a vacuum. Those are pictures taken in the field as we were doing these tests. All indications are that this is a very successful street. You can buy postcards of that street in Ahmedabad. They keep making it longer. They add sections to it. All those people are not walking in the center of the motorbike. That's a pretty touchy median with the car park there and the bumpers. I understand that. Closer to the ground, that's how they work. People walk, the pedestrian road is a pedestrian road. They're walking both on the sidewalk and on the street. You can see where the new trees are growing, were planted. Again, the pedestrian realm, the two-step curb, which is, in this case, really a little detail that makes a difference. Please note that the paving on the side access roads are different than in the center. Well, not just a success. There are, of course, too few success stories. It was built very, very quickly. Too few success stories on CG Road. There are many reasons why the design became reality, not the least of which was the people involved, and many more reasons why in this country they have trouble getting from drawing tables to reality. But all of that's jumping the gun. It's more instructive, I think, to know how we, Elizabeth, Yogan Lofay, and I got into this subject matter as a subject of research, why we, what we found, what has happened since, and what we are learning. The start of our interest was when I was working with others on a design for Howard Hughes property in Los Angeles. The main proposal that I didn't know at the time was a multi-way boulevard, and the reaction by the Los Angeles traffic people, and by our own engineer working on the team, was that this is, you are crazy, and this is a really dangerous, these are really dangerous streets, and you should have not, we were not going to have anything to do with that. And they never explained why they were dangerous to me. But these were all the experts. Some years later, when doing research for what would become the Great Streets book, I found myself on Avenue Montaigne in Paris, and then on the Paseo de Gracia in Barcelona. And lo and behold, I found that I was on the kind of street that I proposed in Los Angeles years earlier. And so that got my attention. I spent a lot of time looking, just standing there, looking, watching all the movements, and watching the caution of people. They didn't seem dangerous to me. I spent more time observing them. And that led to research with a couple of questions. Was this type of street inherently dangerous? In the U.S., and then the second question, in the U.S., if a community wanted such a street, could they get it built under today's standards and norms? That was the essence. Those are the two big research questions. To explain that, to go further with that, it's my joy to do something that I don't normally do, which is to introduce my partner in every way, Elizabeth McDonald, who